Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Let's jump on our feet for the reading of the word. I've been preaching for 23 years. I gave the most scriptures that I have ever given to our media team today. It's probably close to 30 or 40 scriptures. And I don't know if I'm going to get all the way through it tonight, but I've already got next Sunday planned. And so if I don't finish this today, we are going to finish it tomorrow afternoon. No, just kidding. Wednesday night, 7 p.m., we'll finish this message. But I believe this is going to set all of us up for an incredible, incredible year. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, reading it from the ESV version translation. This is what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone, somebody say anyone. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Somebody say it's dead. And behold, the new has come. Turn to your BFF and tell them the new year needs a new you. Tell them the new year needs a new you. You may be seated in the presence of God. Very rarely do we ever literally get to celebrate the new year on the first day, happen to be a Sunday of a brand new year, 365 pages to a brand new book. How many of you are readers in the house today? Any readers? How many of you actually still read books, not just social media posts and Kindles, but I actually like the pages between my fingers. If I'm reading leadership books or books that are designed to help or to elevate, man, I'm highlighting and circling, writing what I think out in the margins. And this is why I do that, because one of these days, I'm either going to be raptured or I'm not going to be on this earth anymore. And those books are going to be two books in one. It's going to be the original author's thoughts, and then it's going to be Brandon's commentary on what he read. And so when I read a book, I love getting new books. I got a bunch of new books for Christmas this year. I love the new. I love the smell of new books. I love the crisp pages. I love that there's no marks, that everything that will be written in that book, anything, the dog-eared pages, all of that will be coming from me. I love new. How many of you like new car smell? And there is no such thing as an air freshener that has the new car smell. That's just cologne scent. Because there is nothing that smells like new except for new. I love the smell of a new house. Anybody ever move into a new house or a new apartment? Or maybe not new, but freshly painted, fresh floors, fresh everything. That smell of newness. I like new. One of the reasons I don't eat leftovers. If it's not eaten when the time it is cooked, I'll give it to my brother because he loves leftovers, but I don't do leftovers. I want something fresh. Somebody say something fresh. And so when we talk about a new year and a new you, we're talking about God giving you a fresh start, God giving you a blank slate, not just in years, not just in days and months, but that's what his grace is, praise God. That's what his mercy is. And so when we look at 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this and he says, therefore, as a result of, if anyone is in Christ, how many of you are in Christ this morning? How many of you, Christ is in you this morning? If anyone is in Christ, I love the ambiguous statement of anyone. That means it doesn't matter how far they are from Christ. Anyone can get in Christ. Doesn't matter what you did last night. When you say yes to Jesus, he can turn your life around. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. King James Version would say he is a new creature. What you are when you say yes to Jesus has never existed before. You are new in every sense of the word. Not only is your heart new, not only is your destination new, but the way you walk is new. The things you enjoy are new. It brings new relationships. It brings a new anointing. It brings new to everything that is connected to you. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. But there is one word in here that changes the context of this entire verse, and that is the word if. Therefore, if anyone, one of the biggest ifs in all of the Bible is if anyone is in Christ. I want to encourage you that if belongs to you. You make the choice today whether this is going to be a year that changes your life and a year that changes the lives of those that are surrounding you, or if this is going to be just another year that you live through, that you have some highs, some lows, but it really is just a repeating of something you've done before. The only genuine newness, church, that we have on this earth is found in Christ. Nothing else can make you new. Nothing else can give you a fresh start. Because without Christ, there is no remission of sin, which means I can move into a new place, but if I'm carrying old things, I will make my new place like the old place that God just delivered me from. But when I said yes to Jesus, not only is the old Brandon dead, the old way of living life is dead, my old vocabulary is dead, who I used to be no longer exists. That's why when people remind you of your past, don't even talk about it. Remind them of the future that is now secure through Jesus Christ. Well, you're not what you used to be. Thank God we're not who we used to be. People will say to you, you've changed, and they mean that as a negative. But what they're really saying is you've grown, you've matured, you're not doing the things that you used to do. And I am here to tell you, the man that is standing before you today is vastly different than the 17-year-old kid before I said yes to Jesus. But I am here to tell you, I'm full of the Holy Spirit, which means the man that is standing here today is different than the man that was standing here last week. Why? Because the power of God in us, on us, and for us is growing and helping us to become more like Christ each and every day. Somebody say, if anyone is in Christ, you can be a part of that anyone today. The problem is a lot of us have Christ and we have subjected him to living in a church building. We have subjected him to being our get out of hell or trouble free card. And so on Sundays, we love to get in Christ. But on Sundays at 12:30, we get right back out of Christ. We love to talk to God when we need something. But when everything is smooth sailing, we don't talk to God. We don't worship God. We don't come to God. But I want to encourage you today. Get in Christ and never leave. Step into the fullness of who Jesus is and never go back to how you were. If you are a believer, then you should be a disciple of Christ. A disciple is a disciplined believer, meaning this: I'm more disciplined today than I was yesterday. I'm a better believer today than I was this time last year. With the beginning of a new year, church, a familiar phrase starts getting thrown around. And that phrase is new year, new you. That phrase, although sounds good and it looks good on a pillow from Hobby Lobby, it is simply not true. Sorry to throw Hobby Lobby under the bus like that. It is simply not true. And so many people are disappointed when months pass and they find themselves in March, April, and May. And what they're looking at looks like a direct repeat of 2022. They are frustrated when February 1st comes and nothing has changed in the first 31 days. I am here to tell you, a new year does not automatically equate to a new you. Because unless you are in Christ, unless you are a new creation, it is going to be same old, different folks, but the same problems. Different job, but the same outcome. But I am here to encourage those of us that are in Christ. When we say Happy New Year, we are talking about Isaiah, when God said, behold, I am doing something new. It is happening all around you if you can perceive it. And I am here to tell you, 2023 is not going to be a rerun for Living Way. It's not going to be a repeat or a cycle that you've been through. God is getting ready to do some new things, some fresh things, some things we have never experienced before. I don't like reruns or repeats as much as the original. The first time you watch it, everything is fresh. Everything is new. But after you've seen it one time, you know how the story ends. The movie Sixth Sense doesn't need to be watched a second or third time. And even if you do, after the twist at the end, the plot twist at the end, it's not near as enjoyable. Oh, I'm loving the journey that I'm on because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know that God is there and he's doing a new thing and he's prepping that thing for us and then he's prepping us on Sunday for that thing. And I'm here to tell you 2023 is going to be a year of outpouring. It's going to be a year of the Holy Ghost. It's going to be a year of souls saved. It's going to be a year of cancers dried up. It's going to be a year of poverty that has gone away with. I am here to tell you, a new year doesn't make a new you, but a new you will make a new year. Here is the truth, church. Nothing magical happened last night at midnight when the clock struck 12. Nothing special happened with the flipping of the pages on a calendar. Nothing will change if you approach the new year with an old mentality. Nothing new will be achieved with old strategies. You can say all you want, but nothing changes until you do something new. Here's some even more truth. The president is not responsible for your happiness. Congress is not responsible for your happiness. A counselor or therapist is not responsible for your deliverance. Ooh, I'm preaching now. The worship team is not responsible for your relationship with God. Your pastor, that's me, is not responsible for your purpose to be fulfilled. Your spouse is not responsible to drag you to success. Your parents are not responsible for the outcome of your life. That's up to you. Here's some even more truth. You don't need a new spouse. You don't need new parents. You don't need a new scene or change of scenery. You don't need a new city. You don't need a new president. You don't need a new church. You don't need a new pastor. What you need is a new you. And when I say you, I'm talking about we, but it wouldn't work in the context of new you, new year. I'm talking about I don't need all of that stuff. My change, my transformation starts with me being in Christ. And when I am in Christ, I am a new creation, which means anything that I need that's new is found in Christ. And when I'm in Christ, now the new year is dictated by the new you or the new me that is in that year. What we really need is a praising you, a worshiping you, a praying you, a fasting you. A you who spends more time in the Word. What we really need is an obedient you, a trusting you, a faithful you, a wise you. Ladies, we need a Proverbs 31 you. Men, we need an Acts 13, 22, man after God's own heart you. We need a devoted you. We need a giving you. We need a serving you. We need a tithing you. We need a loving you. We need a spirit-filled you. We need a witnessing you. Here, if you don't hear anything else I say, hear this. We don't need a better them. We need a better you. Well, you don't know what they, I don't know about they. I just know about me. Well, Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. I don't know what they did. And excuse me, I don't care what they did, because what they did compared to what Jesus did is always going to be lesser. And he says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation, and that old thing is passed away. We don't need a new them. We need a new you. You need me to be the best Brandon that I have ever been before. And that is not going to happen through five steps to a successful marriage and three steps to financial wealth and eight steps to raising quality kids. And all of that has its place. What you need from me is for me to spend more time with God than I do in the world. What you need from me is me talking to God more than I do anybody else. You don't need business Brandon. You need a Brandon that's on his knees every day saying, God, if you've called me to lead this house, then God, I need you every step of the way. And so since I'm in Christ, I'm never going to step out or leave being in Christ. Your husband woman of God needs a new you. You say, well, his eyes are wondering. His eyes could be wondering because you're not the you God created you to be. Well, I wish she would quit talking. She's always talking to her friends, and she's always looking to her mama for advice, and she's always running to her mama so she could get counsel. Can I tell you, man of God, if you would rise up and be the man that God has called you to be, if you would be the king and the priest and the spiritual guide of that house, she wouldn't have to go to anyone else. She could go to you. Parents, your kids don't need the coach version of yourself. Parents, your kids don't need you living vicariously through their baseball, volleyball, and basketball skills. They need you to be a man of God and a woman of God that doesn't just teach them how to tie a shoe, but teaches them how to pray and touch the heart of God, that can reach into heaven and pull heaven down. They need to know what it's like to have a father who doesn't cuss them, belittle them, and berate them, but a father that hugs them, loves them, and says, a real man of God worships. A real man of God. Oh, come on, somebody. We need people to become better versions of themselves. It's not President Trump's fault or President Biden's fault. What's happening in your house, it can change when you become the you God called you to be. At this point, and I'll just say this, and I know this will be met with some eye rolls, I'm sure. At this point, I'm paying some more money for my diesel. My taxes have gotten a little higher. That's the only thing that's really changed is the president swap. You say, well, has it? It hasn't changed 1 ounce of how I live in my house. I'm not eating any worse or any better. I'm not living any worse or living better, because I've got news for you. It doesn't matter who's in Washington. If they tell me I can't pray, I'm still going to pray. If we go from a national day of prayer to we get a president in there that says, oh, we're going to pray every day, I'm glad the nation's finally joining me, because whether they say I can or I can't, I'm still going to. If they say you can't go to church anymore, guess what I'm going to be doing every Sunday? I'm going to still be going to church. It doesn't matter if it's legal, illegal, whether it is encouraged or discouraged. I am here to tell you, quit leaning on the staff of man. The Bible says when we lean on the staff of man, that staff breaks at the most inopportune time and pierces our hand. You are getting injured because you're putting too much faith in people. I vote, I pray, and I live, and that's all you can do. But I am here to tell you, more than a democracy, we have a king that has a kingdom, that there is no end to the government that is on his shoulders. And heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God, eternity, I'm in Christ, you're in Christ, and so all things become new. I could have preached this in July and it would have had the same meaning. The only reason I'm preaching on January 1st is everybody in here over the age of 12, your mind is making decisions and covenants and resolutions and promises and thoughts that with a new year, I'm going to start working out more. I'm going to start eating more, eating better. By God, out of the abundance of the heart, Lord, touch me today. God, a new me, praise God. I hear new restaurants. No, just kidding. But we look at the newness of everything around us. It doesn't change because it's now January 1st. It doesn't change with an elected official. You think God's plan for your life, do you think he really took into account who was going to be sitting in the Oval Office? Your plan and your purpose, do you really think that he took into account where you were going to be living and what was going to be going on with gas prices and the economy and Wall Street? Do you think that God took all of that and said, well, I really didn't take that into account when I was giving them this plan and this promise and this purpose? I am here to tell you, God's plan, purpose, and promise is never held hostage by any of the things going on in this earth. Why? Because in Christ, it will always be new. Always be new. There's some things that we have to get in ourselves right before we can declare that new year. The first thing you got to get right in your life is your mind. For us to have a new you, we got to get up here right. Your mind is the battlefield that the enemy fights on. We don't fight flesh and blood, but principalities. He's the prince of the air, is what is said about the adversary. And I am here to tell you, every addiction does not start by someone picking up something in their hand. It starts with their mind. Every time we make decisions, every time that we say yes or no to something, we are winning or losing the battle of the mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says, "Who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." When you said yes to Jesus, if you are in Christ, you have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? You don't think the thoughts that you used to think. One of my friends says, "Oh, I had a God thought," and I'd never heard that until I'd heard them say that. Now I think that all the time. God, I want God thoughts in my mind. I want God thoughts to reign. Where I used to think about this, now God's mind is in me. And if his mind is in us, then that now regulates and changes our behavior, our actions, and our reaction. Here's one in Philippians 2, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." When you said yes to Jesus coming into your life, he's not living in the organ called the heart. He's in your life. You don't accept him with your heart. You accept him with your mind. Thinking that, God, there is no way for me to be able to do what you have promised is available to us. And so, Lord, I invite you into my life. And he's not just there because he has nothing else to do. He sets up shop in our life so he can do our thinking for us. That's why when you start dating, God says, "Nope." God says, "Stop." God says, "Run." God says, "All right, let's take some time here. This is the one." That's why when you have Christ, you don't decide where you work. You don't decide what school you go to. You don't decide what career you take part in. You don't decide what ministry that you want to be involved in. You don't decide. God gets involved in every part of my life. I remember when I was 18 years old, my brother's 4 years older than me, and he had started trading stocks while he was at 18. And so I watched for 4 years him trade, and him and my dad were trading stocks. That was right. I'm going to age myself now. That was right when the internet was picking up, and around 1995, 96, and online trading was something. And most of our stuff was still done by phone calls. And I remember he had made a little money, and man, I was hyped that when I turned 18, I was going to make some money like Big Brother. And the first 1,000 or so I put out there, I lost it all. And I went to my mother, Pastor Becky, and I went there to lament. And I went there because I'm a mama's boy at heart. And I went there because I wanted her to coddle me and say, "It's okay." I went to her thinking maybe she will give me $1,000 to replace the 1,000 I just lost in Dollar General and Disney. I wish I'd kept it now, because now it would be worth tens of thousands of dollars. But I remember when I went and told Pastor Becky, you know what she said to me? "Did you pray about it?" "Pray about it? Pray about stocks?" She said, "Yeah, did you pray about it?" I said, I'm not going to pray about whether this is the stock for me or not. She said, "So you're telling me that you would trust God with your eternity, but you won't trust him in the stock market? You're telling me that you're going to trust that God's going to tell you who to marry, what to do with your life, but you're not going to let him give you two or three letters to type in to make that trade that is going to bless you so that you can be a bigger blessing, so that you can give 10%, 15%, 20% to the kingdom of God? Are you telling me that, God?" And I went there to be encouraged, and I was dismantled. But I've remembered that all of these years later, that it's not just who I marry, and it's not just what I'm going to do with my life, and it's not the city I'm going to live in, but that God wants to get involved in every decision of my life. That God wants to get involved in the small things. That God wants to get involved in the big things. That God wants to get involved in the decisions that I make every day that do not seem like they will amount to anything. I, like you, have multiple ways I could come to church on Sunday. I literally asked God, God, which way are we going to church today? He said, does God speak to you? No, but I feel that God's directing me so that I miss that train on Pat Booker Road in 78. I don't know why they're running on Sunday mornings at 6:30 a.m., but they are. And I can avoid that with one turn. Can I tell you, when you get your mind right in 2023, that God is going to save you some heartache by leading you to some things, through some things, to avoid some things. God is going to save you 8 months that you're about to waste in that relationship. God is getting ready to save you $1,500 that you're getting ready to invest in that scam. God gives you the mind of Christ, and it's not just to bless us, and it's not just to favor us, but it is so that we can become more like Him in the process. I'm going to ask the praise team to come. The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Get your mind right to make a new you. Romans 12, 2, one of my favorite portions of Scripture, and be not conformed to this world. It's harder and harder when the world is doing its best to manipulate us. You realize that in a matter of 3 to 5 years, we went from freedom of speech and what you cannot say. You can't say this anymore because it's hate speech. You can't. The time's coming where they will sit in this building or they will listen to my sermons, and then they will call me on Monday saying, you can't say that anymore. And I am here to tell you, I want all of that smoke, because nobody is going to tell me what I can and cannot say except God Himself. And I'm here to tell you, we will be that church that is on the CNN and Fox News, that we don't back down from anybody. We will say it in love, but we love you enough to tell you the truth.